And thanking God for another day we've never seen before, but one we got an opportunity to wake up this morning. And for that, we should be grateful people and thankful that God loved us enough to give his son, and that because he gave his son, we all have a hope of eternal life. If you're here and you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you are the honored guest of the audience. And we appreciate having you with us on this so-called Easter Sunday. We're thankful that you're here, but we want you to know that we believe that the Bible is absolutely right. Absolutely right. 100% right. We believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's Hill, shed his blood that purchased his church, his bride, the Church of Christ, and want to be saved. They must believe he hung, suffered on that cross. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. And then you must be baptized. And we'll do that on this morning. We'll baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. You're not saved until you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We're going to be studying from Galatians chapter 2 this morning. If you turn your Bibles there, I'll go ahead and give you, we'll go there and we'll preach from the Word of God. And we want to say to those who are here, and because it's Easter Sunday, Easter is, the word Easter is in the Bible. It got nothing to do with a bunny rabbit laying chicken eggs. No, I have nothing to do with that. They're just as foolish as it can get. You know, it don't make no sense for folk to try to represent a suffering Savior with a bunny rabbit laying colored chicken eggs. They're just, you ought not to need no more than that to know it ain't from God. Amen. How would God allow us to remember his son through a rabbit? Amen. Somebody, amen. God wants us to remember his son through every Sunday is Easter Sunday, as they define Easter. Resurrection Sunday is every Sunday. Because Jesus died, he rose on the first day of the week. And because he got up on the first day of the week, he still lives. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Amen. So there's your Easter sermon. About as good as it's going to get. You want the rest of it, go to Wikipedia and encyclopedia. They'll tell you the origin of it. It had nothing to do with God, but everything to do with a goddess called a fertility goddess. You go read about it, it'll tell you. Mm-hmm. That's idolatry. Mm-hmm. From Roman Catholicism, again. The mother of harlots. That's who she is. All came out of Rome. That's why you got St. Nicholas representing Jesus on his birthday. You know he got nothing to do with Jesus. A fat man running around in a red suit with a white beard. Foolishness. Seems like Americans in the world ought to have better sense than that. That's where you get the St. Nicholas from. Then you got St. Patrick Day. That's another. You got to have a green clover. Then you got the St. Valentine, where you give out chicken, chocolate. Amen. Chocolate. You give a chocolate to your sweetheart. She ought to be your sweetheart every day of the week. Every day ought to be your sweetheart. Somebody ought to say amen. And some of y'all against Christmas, but you're going to show enough, give out some candy on Valentine's. Amen. Yeah, you're going to do that anyway. That's enough on that. That just gets me riled up. I do about 5 minutes on Christmas, 5 minutes on Easter. And the next one is Mother's Day. That's them CME people. Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. Only time they feel like they need to go worship God. Yeah, you can't be saved like that, my friend. Maybe you're here today and you just needed me to tell you that. Just once every so often going to worship is not gonna cut it. You can't get to heaven like that. You have to do it the way God has told us to do it. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. Amen. We assemble for the purpose of worshiping God. How? In spirit and in truth. Galatians chapter 2. God accepted no man's person. The study of the book of Galatians chapter 2. The Bible says,
then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas.
This is Apostle Paul talking. 14 years into his ministry, he went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. And
took Titus with me also.
Awesome. It's good to have those who believe like you with you. Amen. That's why it's good, Brother Stroud. Now, we go out, we go traveling. We together. Amen. We speak together. We preach together. We speak the same thing. We're friends. And not only are we friends, we love each other, amen, because there's a companion there, because we are in this together. You know, we're speaking on behalf of God and his son, Jesus Christ, and it's part of us to remember. And this is a good thing about young people. Like, we had a funeral yesterday for a young man. You know, be careful about who you surround yourself with. I mean, there's just a lot of people, a lot of our kids and young people, not just kids, but young adults, And young teenagers, young adults, they're going to die young or go to prison because of the group, the people they hang out with, you know, their influences. And I just say to you young folk, just be careful about who you choose for your friends. And understand this. If ask them if they be your friend when you try to do right. Amen. And when you're living right, you'll know if they're your friends, because if you start living right, they ain't going to hang around you long. Was that really a friend or somebody that like you because of what you do? They like you because you do the wrong they do. When you start living right, people stop coming around you. That's a good thing about it. And those are not friends. Those are not friends. Amen. And so I'm throwing that in there. The relationships are important as we look at people in our lives. And this is what Paul had Barnabas, and he took Titus with him also. And he said he went up by revelation.
And communicated unto them.
He went up by revelation. What's revealed to him and communicated unto them.
The gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation.
Lest by any means I should run in vain. Paul wanted to go up to Jerusalem to speak privately to those church leaders about reputation. He's talking about those who are known as leaders. Amen. And so that tells me that as leaders in the Lord's church, we're going to have some type of reputation. Amen. And I want my reputation to be one who stood when no one else was standing. I stood with the truth. I held on to truth. I didn't give in because of the pressure of the people. I'll be much like Jeremiah. I don't fear the faces of people. We don't fear the face. When you're of reputation, that means you can stand, and you can stand boldly, as I do every Sunday. I stand boldly. Anytime I stand to preach, I'm going to stand boldly. Just throw that in there, because Paul got to go face these guys. In the early church, the Jewish Christians were having a problem with Gentiles. They were having a problem with the Gentiles, so Paul was sent by God unto the Gentiles. Jews, of course, are under old law with Judaism, and the Jewish Christian now are obeying the gospel, and they're having problems. It's kind of like white and black, if you will. The whites always had it their way, and now God said the blacks can come in with y'all, but they're having a problem with the blacks coming in and fellowshipping with them. So if I just put in that text, maybe understanding a little better what's going on with the Jew and the Gentile. And so now Paul said, I did it by revelation. Now, by revelation means God revealed to him what to say. God revealed to Paul, and we have the Bible today, is by revelation. Amen. And let's get now Acts chapter 26 and verse number 14. Acts 26 and verse 14, where Jesus told Paul what his mission was. In Acts 26, 14, when we're all fallen
to the earth,
I heard a voice speaking unto me.
Saying in the Hebrew tongue.
In the Hebrew tongue, Saul.
Why persecutest thou me?
This is in your Bible. You got the red letter. That means Jesus is doing the speaking directly to Paul. He's revealing to him some information. He said, and I said,
it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Yeah.
And I said, Who art thou?
Who art thou, Lord?
And he said,
Paul asked him, who are you, Lord? And he said,
I am Jesus.
Whom thou persecuted. Read.
But rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared unto thee.
Get up.
For this purpose.
I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.
To make thee a minister.
He knocked him down on the road of Damascus. Sometimes God got to take us down to get our attention. Amen. He got to take us to the bottom. He blinded him, knocked him down on the road of Damascus, and then he told him, get up, stand up on your feet. I appeared on you. I got a purpose for your life
to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee.
Deliver thee
from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you
to the Gentiles. And he said, here's what the purpose of going to the Gentiles is to open their eyes. Open their eyes and
turn them from darkness
from
to light.
Darkness unto light. And from the power of Satan.
Those unto God.
The darkness, Colossians 1, I think it is verse 18. Let's go over there and get that right. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Get that for me. I think that's verse 13. 13, that's what I want. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken here. Yeah, that's it. Let's get that one. Let's get that. Just hold right there. We're coming back to Acts. Let's get this one. All right, you got it?
Who had delivered us from the power of darkness.
Now, here's the power of darkness. He's delivered us. This is what Paul's mission was, to deliver the Gentiles from the power of darkness and
had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Of his dear son. So the power of darkness is the power of Satan. God is light, but Satan represents darkness, and there's power in darkness. Satan has power unto, and he's trying to get them from Satan's power unto God. And here's why, that they may receive what? The forgiveness of sin. I'm Acts 28:16 again, 18 again, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin. Brothers and sisters, understand this. You cannot get the forgiveness of sin living in sin. Amen. Let me say it one more time. You cannot get forgiveness of sin living in sin. For example, if you say you're a Christian and then you live together and you're not married, that's sinful. Shacking is sinful. You're living in the darkness. You're not in the light. What are you saying? That's a good example of modern day we cohabitating. God honors marriage. Marriage is honorable unto all. And the bed under fire. But God, homemongers and adulterers, God will judge. So marriage is honorable. You cannot shack and then say you saved. You got to repent in order to have forgiveness of sins. It doesn't matter how many times you ask for forgiveness. If you go back that night and you sleep together again, you are not forgiven. You cannot be forgiven until you stop. Amen. That applies to any sin. Amen. So what he's saying, brother, but you pick the one you're in. The one you just do over and over and over, you haven't stopped. That's the one. Somebody asked me the other day, I was talking about the sin unto death and the sin not unto death. Well, let me make it real clear because it wasn't clear last week. The sin unto death is the one you die in. That's the one you never repented of. He said, don't pray for that one. See, if you haven't repented, prayer won't get you forgiveness of sins. You have to repent. What does repenting mean, brother? Stop. You have to stop doing the sin. The sin not unto death is the one that you repented of and you was forgiven. But before you repented, it was still sin. So what is your sin? Maybe it's not shacking. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's smoking. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's forsaking the assembly every week. Amen. Maybe it's picking and choosing when you want to be a Christian. Maybe it's that you're a Christian on Sunday, during the week you're the devil. You're living in darkness. Maybe you're a CME. You come to church just on Easter. You say, what is he saying, brother? You got to repent of that and start going to worship every Sunday. Remember him every Sunday. You're only taking the Lord's Supper once a month. You need to repent of that. You haven't been born again. Need to repent. Amen, somebody. Amen. The only way you can be saved. Amen. We don't turn in worship as a social gathering. Just go there to see my friends. We come to worship. Amen. At some point, you got to quit coming just for a social reason. You got to come to offer God an acceptable worship. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's Easter sermon, isn't it? It's a good one. Good Easter sermon. You get to go eat your eggs. I'm not going to take long. How many of y'all gonna hide some egg when you leave? Just don't say nothing about Jesus. Just open that egg up and eat it. And don't lie to them kids. Are we doing this because of Jesus? No, we not. Quit lying. Go to Bible class. Lying to these kids. Just like that fat man on Christmas. Lying to them kids like he came through a chimney. Oh, Brother Brooks, you know, we always told that. Well, when you know better, guess what? I tell my kid, I'm your Santa Claus. You don't get nothing unless I buy it. Ain't coming through no chimney to give it to you. I got to go to work. Yeah. I loosen y'all up because some of y'all shacking. Now you're worried. Yeah, I said, you got to learn. That's why I teach that in ministry class. You get them all shook up and then make them laugh a little bit, make them feel a little better. You still in sin. You just feeling better because I'm off of you. I'm telling you what they say when you come down my street, just... It's me. It's me, Brother Brooks. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Kind of open your eyes. That's what Paul's tent was. Open their eyes. Turn them from darkness. Some of you people in here, this afternoon I'm going to speak about the father lies at Brother Harper's congregation. Talk about Satan. Satan is deadly, man. He's snatching folk. He's snatching them up. He's the enemy. And Paul is going to turn people from that darkness, from the power of Satan, unto God. Mm-hmm. And they may receive
forgiveness of sin
and inheritance among them
which are sanctified.
Know how would sanctification take place?
By faith.
By faith.
That is in me.
That Jesus said, when they believe in me. That's the other thing we got to understand. When people want to go back to the Old Testament, and this is again Revelation 14, 13, I think that is. Look here. People today, it's amazing me. It just amazes me. Even in Church Christ now, they're trying to get us to go to instrumental music. You know, we've been fighting that thing for a minute, but I want to show y'all something. Understand something. The Bible does not ever support bringing in mechanical instruments of music or anything, Revelation 14, 12, or anything. God is not worshiped with hands. This is physical stuff. It's physical. God is a spirit. And your spirit must be connected. And if you haven't been born of water and of the spirit, you're not connected. So you can't come in the presence of God and bring physical things as means of worship that's not authorized by the Spirit. Listen to this. When you look at the Old Testament, you're looking at the commandments of God. Listen, here's the patience of the saints, verse 12.
Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
No, see that. He said the faith of who?
Jesus.
And Paul said, Jesus told Paul, you sanctify them by the faith that is in me. See, here's the thing. No one in the Old Testament taught that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. That wasn't taught. It was a prophecy that it was going to happen. Only in the New Testament is the belief or faith of Jesus recorded. The faith of Jesus is recorded in New Testament doctrine. And that's how Paul got it by revelation. The apostles wrote the faith of Jesus. Amen. Let me give you another thing. When you talk about faith, if you can't use this book, if you can't get past Genesis 1:1, this book is no good to you. Until you got to go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, that's in the front of your Bible. That's what happened. You ain't got no, you use the electronic device, you got to flip, but just the book, you turn it over to the front. You there yet?
Yes, sir.
Help me then.
In the beginning.
Friend, you got to be my friend to read for me, otherwise you'll get offended real quick.
In the beginning, God created the heaven
now
and the earth.
Now that's where you need to go. In the beginning, God. Now you say, well, I believe God, but I don't believe one church. You already got a problem, faith problem. See, to believe the Bible, you got to believe the first verse of it. Because somebody, well, what was God before God? What was before God, Brother Brooke? Well, he says in the beginning. So what do you want some before stuff for? Amen, because you have a faith issue. What my point is, there's faith throughout the whole Bible. Abraham's faith was in God the Father. Because Jesus had not died. We have faith in God the Father, God the Son, because the Son of God was born of the Virgin Mary, and the Son of God became Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world, and the Savior of the world then would die on the cross and shed blood to start the New Testament church, or the New Testament pattern of worship, or the New Testament, or the New Covenant, the New Agreement. With a new agreement, has new things in it. And that's what we have to understand. As Christians, we're under the faith of Christ. That's what Paul had to go preach to them. That the Jews were no longer the only one had access to the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 3 and the verses number 1, he says this. In the faith of Jesus, he said this. For this cause, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles.
If you have heard of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you.
Read.
How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
Here's the mystery.
As I wrote, Paul said, the mystery is wrote in few words.
Whereby, when you read, you have to read what's wrote to know what the mystery is. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul's knowledge was in the mystery of who?
Christ.
There's a mystery that needs to be understood of Christ. Read.
Which in other ages was not known by the sons of men.
But it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Read.
That the Gentiles.
Here it is. Here's the mystery. Here's the mystery. Revealed, wrote that the Gentiles
should be fellow heirs. And of the same body.
Hold it right there. The mystery is that the Gentiles and the Jews will be fellow heirs of the same body. Let's define body. Ephesians 1:22, Colossians 1:18, Colossians 1:22, 24. Get this for me. Ephesians 1:22. What Bible says what there?
And had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church. Which is his body.
Which is his what?
Body.
Body. Colossians 1:18. The church is his body. Colossians 1:18. And then verse 24.
And he is the head of the body.
Paul said again. He said in Ephesians. He said in Galatians. He said, and now he's saying again. He said that he is the head of the body. Body, said in Colossians. He's the head of the body.
The church.
The church.
Who is the beginning?
The body is what?
The church.
Drop down to verse 24.
Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you.
Mm-hmm.
And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.
So the body is what?
The church.
Go to Ephesians 4:4. Here's the mystery, my friends. Here's the mystery. The body is the church.
There is one body.
Now there is one church.
And one spirit.
If you get the body of the church, that was revealed through the apostles, that the Jews and Gentiles will be all members of one church. It was a mystery that's revealed in Scripture. Ephesians 5:23. The Bible says what? For the husband
is the head
is
of the
head
wife.
Of the wife, even as Christ
is the head,
is
of, the
head of the church.
And he is the savior,
Of
the body.
Of what?
The body.
He going to save the church. How many churches? One. How do we know? Revelation. What you got to do? Read it. Who wrote it? The holy apostles. Listen to what the book says.
Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So
let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands,
love your wives.
Love your wife even as Christ
also loved the church
and gave himself for it. Read.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
By the word.
That he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle.
Now, some people think that he's talking about the husband and the wife. But he dropped down to verse 32. Paul says, this is
a great mystery.
I'm not talking about your wife.
But I speak concerning.
But what I'm talking about.
Christ and the church.
The mystery was that Christ would be the husband of one wife. The mystery has been revealed that wife wears her husband's name. That's why it's not Baptist. That's why it's not Methodist. It's not Catholic. It's called the Church of Christ.
Amen.
How do a man know who his wife is? She wear his name. And you mess around, some of these jealous brethren go fool around and say, attend the wife of your choice and attend his if you want to and see what happens. There's so many jealous brothers out here. You can tend the church of your choice, even though Christ didn't have one wife. That's okay in America, but don't go attend the wife of your choice that wears the last name of that husband. See what you're saying? If you keep it simple, children can understand this.
Amen.
That the church is the wife of Christ. The mystery of Paul would go and preach this to these Gentiles, that the faith in Christ had to do with doing what the Lord told you to do in order to be saved.
Amen.
Let's go back now. Go back to Galatians 2 as a close. Somewhere in here. Paul said, neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares came in privily to spy out our liberty,
which we have in Christ Jesus,
that they might bring us into bondage. Under the old law, physical circumcision was required. Get Colossians 2 for me. A physical circumcision on the eighth day, the boys had to be circumcised. There is a circumcision today under the New Testament. And this circumcision, Paul was teaching them, you're no longer have to circumcise in order to be in God's family. Mm-hmm. There is a circumcision, however, under the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 2 and the verses number 11, there's a spiritual circumcision that takes place in baptism. When whom you are
circumcision made without hands, and putting off the bodies of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
So there's a circumcision that takes place in baptism. It's a putting off the sins of the flesh. Listen to what he says now.
Buried with him in baptism.
Buried with Christ in baptism.
Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith.
Watch who the surgeon is. Under the water, the surgeon is God. He's the operation of who?
God.
Who raised him
from the dead.
And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, and he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Verse number 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was Old Testament, which was against us, contrary to us. Notice how he took it out the way.
And took it out of the way.
Nailing it
to his cross.
Not to the cross, but to his cross. That's important. It was Christ's cross that took away the Old Testament for Jews only. Now it's for Jew and Gentile. He nailed the old law to the cross. He said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you
in meat.
In meat
or in
drink.
Or in respect
of a holy day, like today, like folk call Easter. That came from Roman Catholicism. That didn't come from God. We are not held on to no holy day. The holy day for us is the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, every Sunday.
Amen.
So what did Jesus do when he hung on the cross? It was his cross that stopped the Old Testament. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Brooke, what you saying we're not under the Ten Commandments? Or turn your recorder on." No, we're not under no Ten Commands. Oh, no, we're not under the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. You know the Ten Commandments, don't you? Who brought them down? Moses. We're not under Moses' law. You say, "You telling me I can commit adultery?" I didn't say that. I said, "You're not under the Ten Commandments." There are new commandments. They got all of them in there with the exception of remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. You want to know? Sabbath day was seventh day worship. The Ten Commandments had that one in it. So if you're going to keep the ten, then go back to worship on Saturday and take the stoning that come with it when you don't. We're under a new law, a better promise. It does not require physical circumcision. It don't stop us from eating meat of any kind like they did. That was nailed to the cross. The holidays were nailed to the cross. We don't have to remember the Jewish Passover. We don't have to go to Jerusalem.
Amen.
We don't have to sacrifice animals and goats. We don't have to sacrifice a lamb. The Lamb of God came when John seen him coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world." Jesus is the last lamb slain. He nailed the old law to the cross. So we're not under Old Testament. I'll give you this one just for simplicity. Old lady, we was really rolling here at Holly Heights first couple years. I came here, we was really rolling back to a lot of people. And we was on the radio program. Lady had heard me. Several times she's heard me speak, and we were doing an outdoor event, and so she got off the bus right out here on the 44, and she I asked for Jesus. He said, looking for Brother Brooks. Looking for Brother Brooks. I said, oh, somebody came. Brother Brooks, this lady, old lady, killed on a walker. She wanted to meet you. I met her at the door. I walked. I said, hey, how you doing? She said, yeah, I've been listening to you on the radio. And I just wanted to come meet you. So I met her real good. And real nice, too. And we talked out there. And then we have a Bible class, of course. And brought her into the Bible class. And she sat at the back. And I was teaching on the board about the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. And I gave an example. I said, okay, why we don't have, the Baptist church have pianos and guitars and get fiddles and those kind of things in a choir, and why we didn't in the churches of Christ. And so I just said, well, let me explain it to you like this. If you got two laws, and as American with driver license, and one law said is the law is 75 miles per hour you can drive under this law. It's legal to drive 75 miles per hour. And then they started noticing the death counts went up on certain streets and highways. And so the legislation came back and changed it. They said, well, let's reduce it back to 55. That's a new law. Y'all got me? So the old law was 75. Legislators changed it. A new law dropped it down to 55. And I just asked her, which law must you abide by to keep from getting a ticket? It will be the new one. And as an American citizen, you're supposed to know the law. So the man in the black and white with the lights, if you drive 75, you're driving the old speed limit, which means you're going to get a ticket. And so at the end of the class, I gave the invitation, and she was at the back there in the back. I was standing up here. She was all the way at the back listening to me. And I seen her coming down the aisle. I said, oh, man, here she comes. You know, I thought she was coming to get me because the class was over. She's an old lady, you know. She was in her 80s. She come real slow toward me. I said, oh, boy, she's going to let me have it. She's a big-time Baptist. She got to the front, and she said, Brother Brooks? I said, yes, ma'am. Respect. I won't respect her, you know. I wasn't going to disrespect her. She said, can you baptize me? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I want no ticket. That good? She said, I don't want no ticket. She died 2 years later, 84. She didn't get no ticket, did she? She started taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. That's the new law. New Testament pattern worship where they sing, they pray, they give. Now, they don't tithe. That's old law. Tithe is 10%. You think God needs 10%? We're on a better promise. He expects us to give cheerfully, not grudgingly. Or you ought to blow 10% out the water. You ought to teach percentage. You teach the heart. You give. Give right. What's right? Give it till it hurt. That's when it's right. When you get to the point, you're giving 10 every week, and you feel good about it. Ain't no pressure on you. You go to 20, you're feeling good about it. Then you go to 30, you're feeling good about that. 50, you're feeling good about that. Get to 60, you say, necessity. I got to give more aggression. Keep it. God don't want it. He wants you to love him. You cannot outgive him. And what God is saying, I gave my best. You ought to give till it hurt. Fuck with you. Well, you ain't going to miss heaven. You'll miss heaven over giving just like you will stealing. Amen. Well, see, now they upset again just like they were when I was talking about shacking. Let me tell y'all a joke. Man, we ain't got time. Let's go back to Galatians. You want to close it right here. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, he says. Paul said, I didn't give no attention to them guys, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
But these seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were.
These people who are important, they thought they were so important they could get him to change what he was teaching. Whatever they were, make it matter. No matter to me, God accepted no man. That's my title right there. God accepted no man perfect. They seem to be somewhat in comfort of
adding nothing to me.
Just because y'all brought me in, want me to change my position, I'm not doing it. God is of no man's person. God is not, listen to this, brother and sister. God is not going to let you get to heaven because you were good. You're going to have to do it. He's not going to favor you because you're rich, because you're black, because you're white, because you're Hispanic. You know, no favor. We all bleed red. That's what he's looking at. Red, blue. Amen. So you can't be a racist and get to heaven. You know, you got some black racists just like you got white racists. Now you can't stand them because of what they did to them folk. That's what they did to them folk. You better worry about your soul. Because every person who has violated, who is racist, whether it's black or white, you're going to give an account to God. Because God is no respecter person. Amen. He ain't going to favor men because they call themselves a pope or a priest or a reverend or a father. That don't those high positions does not subject us to them. You shouldn't come here because Brother Brooks is preaching or leave when I'm not preaching. Amen. It just shouldn't matter who's in the pulpit as long as they're preaching the truth. That's what should matter to you. Don't get caught up on the people. Don't get caught up on the man. That's why God doesn't allow us to wear reverends and fathers. Amen. Because it elevates me to a place I should not be. Amen. I'm the brother of low degree. That's who I am. I'm not a reverend. I'm not a father. Amen. I'm not a pope. I'm not a high-minded man. Because we understand that God has no respect to person. God accepted no man's person. Ain't nobody getting into heaven because they have a special treatment. You got to do what God say do in order to get to heaven. And if all these preachers in the world understood that they take these robes off and all these big old crosses and take these big old chairs out of the church building and stop elevating themselves, take down these special parking spots, take these robes off, start being just a man like the rest of people in the world to let them know we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Preach, Brother Brooks. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. No high mind. You members should know this. You don't get caught up on no Brooks. If I go down, you go down. You get caught up on the cross. So if you get caught up on the cross and Brother Brooks go down, you'll come get him. The higher you are, the harder to fall. I don't want our members elevate me. And when you do, you're corner-minded. Spiritual people receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. That's why we come here weekly.
Amen.
God, no respect to person. That's enough. We'll pick up there next week.
Amen.
Let's do it like that. How about that? If you're here today, I kill you, eat your spirit, I'm sure. I probably did. That's okay. You needed to be killed on that one. But let's get a bit more serious. At the end of the day, we're going to die. Y'all, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I don't know what you're going through today in your lives, but some of you got pains in your body. Some of you got cancer in your body. Some of you are dealing with heartaches. Broken hearts, you got relationship issues, you got health issues, we got life issues, you got job issues, you got marriage issues, you got all this. What do you say, brother? What that got to do with this? Understand this. What I'm suggesting is we better get our minds focused on dying and knowing that we got to get some stuff right. And like I told the kids yesterday, we buried one 18-year-old. But who's next? Who's going to bury next at this congregation? And how are you going to die? Are you going to die in your sins? But Jesus said, where I am, you can't come.
Amen.
And then one thing, well, don't stop coming to try to get this stuff out your life. Be real. Keep it real. Amen, somebody. Understand, you can't get to heaven without the blood of Jesus. And the only way you can get the blood of Jesus, you got to contact the blood in baptism. That's the beginning of it. And when you contact the blood in baptism, then you start drinking that blood. And I don't know about you, but I drink all of it. y'all missed the point. But if you know what the Bible, Jesus said, drink ye all of it. I don't want to know. I try to suck the bottom out of that cup. Why are you saying that, Brother Brooks? I want all the blood I can get because I know this. Ain't no way I'm going to make it without that blood. How many of y'all can be honest enough to say that stuff? You got to be honest with yourself to know we cannot get in there by this flesh is something else, boy. You can't get there, Harold, without the blood. You got to believe in Jesus Christ on the cross. You got to believe he suffered for you. And you got to let that, you got to love God. You got to love his son for what he done for you, because there was the precious blood of Jesus that will wash our sins away. It was on the cross that he died. On the cross, he suffered. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The world's greatest magnet is Jesus on the cross for sinners. It draws them to him. Because that love and the blood wash away our sins. Amen. You know, when you get baptized, you get up and you feel real good. You want to know why? Because your conscience is clear. Baptism is an answer to a good conscience. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20 and 21. So baptism, reason why you want to get baptized every Sunday is because your conscience bothers you every Sunday, because you're still doing what you've been doing. When you repent, you feel much better because you stop the sin. Amen. That's what are you gonna do? Remember, I'm saying to y'all, to be saved, you gotta hear how he suffered. You gotta believe that with all of your heart. Acts 15, verse 7. You got to hear the word of the gospel. Gospel is that suffering Savior that died for you. You gotta believe with all your heart. You gotta repent. You gotta make a decision. You know what? I can't leave this Easter like I came. And expect to make it back next Easter. Next Easter ain't promised to you. Then you gotta repent. And make this is the first time you said make this decision today that you're gonna obey the God, you're gonna come down here and get baptized, and you're gonna live for him. Amen. You gotta confess him before this altar. You believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Then we have to baptize you because Jesus commanded it. Matthew 28:18 said, go teach all nations baptizing them. Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Somebody say they believe in Jesus, they don't believe in his command. What kind of stuff is that? How many of y'all been baptized in here? You know, you can be baptized 10 times wrong. There's only one true baptism. Amen. It's the one according to truth. John 4:24, Jesus, God is the Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. If you wasn't taught the truth, that baptism is not valid. Amen. You just got wet. Went down a dry devil, came up a river. Ain't been saved yet. You got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Then here it is, members of the church. What amazes me is that you're a member of the church. You know right. You know you've been taught the truth. Yet you're not faithful. Yet you won't make no confession. And you know the truth. Man, some young folk in the audience here, you done left the church. Young adults are leaving the church. We baptize them 1 week, they gone the next 3 weeks. What's going on? The world is pulling you. Yeah, the rapid loss of people, souls, is young adults. Young adults are leaving. We baptize a bunch of them and lose a bunch of them. Right back to the world they go. You got to make a decision. You're going to get in here and stick it out. Amen. That's what you do. Make a decision that you're going to hold to God's unchanging. He ain't never going to leave him. You're going to stick it out. How many of y'all are going to stick it out? Amen. Yeah, stick it out. Stick it out. Be faithful to Bible class. Be faithful to worship series. And I want to say that, you know what? The highest praise of God, the word hallelujah. When you think about the day it wasn't promised to us, and God gave us another chance, a second chance, a new beginning, we all ought to be saying hallelujah, shouldn't we, y'all? Thank you, Jesus. You gave us another chance, another day, another opportunity to get it right. If you're here today and you need prayer, let us pray with you. You're going through a lot. You've been going through a lot in your life. Won't you come down and let us pray with you? Write it on the card. Let us pray for you. Take your card out now. You know you got too much going on to handle by yourself. Don't let the devil fool you like you can do it by yourself. You got to have God all the way. Life without God has no meaning. Well, I'm suggesting to you, members of the church, if you haven't repented, if you haven't come home this Sunday. Come back repenting. Come back. And visitors, if you haven't been baptized, you don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You don't know about the one church. If I haven't convinced you now, then come to my VIP class. Don't leave today without learning what you must do to be saved. Why? Tomorrow is not promised to none of us. You got to be born again. Or if you believe it, then walk down here this morning. We'll baptize you. So who am I calling? I'm calling those who need to be baptized. I'm calling those who need prayer. I'm calling those other members who need to restore and come back to the Lord. Why? Hallelujah. High praise God. God gave you this chance, this opportunity. What you going to do with it? As together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.